Insanity has long been defined as doing the same things yet expecting different results. So if that's the case, why do so many of us remain trapped in toxic relationships that we know aren't healthy? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this new episode of Trini Trent Radio. Yes, it's me, your boy Trini Trent, your longtime host, your only host at this point. Big up to Terry doing amazing things in New York. You know, he's always here in spirit. Like I always imagine him sitting across from me while I'm chatting. Because you know what? It's such an amazing dynamic that Terry and I share. And I get very excited every time I step to the mic because I know that one day he's going to listen and then send me his feedback like he always does. And it feels so fun. It feels like he's still here in the room with me. But for now, it's me grinding by myself in the actual physical form. And you know where you can find all the episodes of me grinding down the place? On Trini Trent Radio. You can find them on trinitrent.com. You can find them on SoundCloud, on Stitcher, on TuneIn Radio, and of course, iTunes. I have to say thank you to everyone who subscribed to the show on SoundCloud. I think we just hit 600 subscribers. That may not seem like a big figure to some, but I am so grateful for everyone who is engaging the content. I see all the comments that are popping up now on SoundCloud, all the reblogs, all the people downloading it. I actually see that we're getting some new reviews on iTunes. All of that is so welcome, and I'm so happy for all of the support. Talking about support, I have to talk about the amazing response that last week's episode of Trini Trent Radio got. That's when we did the discussion of that man is wasting your time. And we spoke about men who basically lead people on and how people are trapped in those relationships. And from that, I got so many responses, so many emails, direct messages, so many comments, so many tweets. People were saying how much the episode affected them. And from that came one recurring question. So many people kept asking, Trent, I'm in a relationship or I just broke up with this dude who was wasting my time. How do I move on? What is the next step? How do I let go? I'm having so many problems moving on with my life because he has kept me hooked in for so long, or I just can't seem to let him go. Well, that's why I decided that this episode is so timely and I needed to really flesh it out with like a part two, like expanding on it. And ironically, this is just in time for the Emancipation Day celebrations here in Trinidad and Tobago, where we celebrate the freedom of the African enslaved, you know, our ancestors from chattel enslavement by the European colonial masters. And it's so amazing that this episode is lining up with that. That's a sign from the universe that yes, it is time for us to unite. It is time for us to share our views, for me to speak on this microphone, get the conversation going so that we could break the chains of unhealthy relationships and claim our freedom by either A, changing the dynamic of those relationships or exiting the cycle completely. Sometimes you can't really stop the wheel. You can't reverse the wheel. As Daenerys from Game of Thrones says, sometimes you have to break the wheel. Before you can exit a relationship that you think is unhealthy, first you need to know whether or not you are actually in an unhealthy relationship. And there are several signs that you can really follow, several little cues that you can really pick up on to determine whether or not you are in an environment, in a situation, in a scenario that is hurting you. Number one, you feel drained or tired after interactions with this person. Have you ever spoken to an individual, a person that you're dating, a person with whom you've been in a relationship with for a long time? You may even be married to this person, or even a friend, just someone in your life, and afterward you feel tired. You feel drained. You feel like, every time you talk to this person, they leave you feeling depressed. They leave you feeling less than you are. They leave you feeling with a lower opinion of yourself. They make you insecure. They make you feel worried. They make you feel anxious about life. That is a sign that that relationship is toxic. That is a sign that that relationship is not feeding you. That relationship is not building you up. I always say that your friends and the people in your life, they should inspire you. For people who encourage you to be greater, people who feed you after you get off the phone, you want to go and do something because they've really left you in such a great state, or they've relaxed you to the point that you feel now you can fall asleep. You know, that last person to whom you speak at night and they just settle you in such a great way. It's like meditation. Speaking to this person is almost a spiritual experience. We have friends, we have lovers, we have family members who do that for us. Yet there are some people who leave us feeling exhausted. And I had this conversation with Terry privately a few months ago, we were chatting about people, you know, after you talk to them, you just feel tired. And it seems as though there are individuals who come into our lives basically to take advantage of us. People who really come into the door basically to get something or to drain us in some way. And they actively do it, or they may actually be doing it subconsciously. We call them energy vampires. That's what Terry called them. The energy vampire. Somebody who talks to you, spills all of their problems, tells you everything that's wrong in their life, asking your advice. They leave you exhausted after a conversation. You don't feel empowered. You don't feel energized. Yes, it's good to help people, but every single time you talk to this person, they talk about how sad they are, how depressed they are. They talk about who they don't like. They're always spewing shady comments. They're always saying something negative about someone, or even saying something negative to you about you. It's just like a dark, negative vibe that you get from this person. Or they always want a favor. They're always coming to you to ask you to do something for them. They always want a lift somewhere. They always want you to help them do something. Hey, my website isn't working. Would you fix it for me? They're not offering you a check, but they expect you to do the work because they know you're their friend or you're their partner. So they can turn to you and ask you a favor. Hey, could you teach me how to do this? Hey, could you bring this for me? Hey, I heard you're going to New York. Could you bring this back for me? They're not saying, okay, here's $100. Keep 20 for yourself for your troubles. Or if you need something in return, they're happy to do it for you. Now, it's one thing to be giving, but if you find yourself constantly giving and giving and giving and giving to someone, and they're not giving you that energy and feeding you in return, or at least even giving you something material in return, like you feel like it's a one-way street constantly, eventually you have to put your foot down and realize, wait, am I in a parasitic type of relationship here? Because it's not symbiotic. Like, okay, this person is coming to me and telling me their problems. I'm giving them advice on how to deal with their problems, and then they offer me a listening ear with my issues. So we have this give and take where we're constantly sharing ideas and helping each other emotionally, spiritually, mentally. But in most cases, when you deal with this person, it's always about their problems. And as soon as you're ready to talk about your day or talk about something that you're going through, all of a sudden they're busy, they have to go. Oh God, Gail, I forget. I had to go and meet my husband down the road. I had to go and meet my friend in the gym. I have a hairdressing appointment. And she hung up the phone. I ain't hear from her again until she has her next problem. And it's constantly that type of cycle. That is a sign that you are involved in a toxic relationship. Another sign that you're in a toxic relationship is that you don't trust the person. If you find yourself constantly having to monitor this individual, let's say you have a boyfriend and you have to always monitor his social media. You have to always check his DMs. You have to check his comment section to see who's leaving comments on his page. You have to check his Instagram activity to see whose pictures he's liking. That is a sign that something is wrong, because there must be a level of trust in a relationship. There must be a level of trust. If you find yourself constantly monitoring this man and you feel that you have to do it, you feel like you have to keep an eye on him because you don't trust where he's going because he's known to stray, that is a sign that your relationship is toxic. There needs to be a level of communication and trust. And if there is no trust, then there is no real relationship. Also, if you find yourself keeping secrets from your partner, if you find yourself unable to fully express yourself to this person. Now, it's one thing if you have a friend or you're in a relationship and you just don't want to reveal every single deep, dark secret. We all have secrets that we keep. However, if something happens to you at work and you feel that you can't really speak and express yourself and communicate your issues and your problems and your insecurities and your fears to someone, that is a sign that that person, especially if this is a romantic relationship, that is a sign that there's a problem in your relationship, because there's a block in your communication. And if there's a blocking in the communication that you feel that you want to express, but they don't allow you to express yourself, because let's say you have a boyfriend and you want to tell him something that's wrong, and he's always like, oh, Gom, you always complaining. You always vexed with somebody. You always saying something negative. Oh, Gom, you're a Debbie Downer. If they continuously put those statements out every time you try to express yourself, that is a sign that your relationship is not healthy, because there is no sharing of ideals. There's no sharing of communication. And there's no freedom of expression. You are constricted. Number three, if you are abused, Now, abuse could come in the form of physical, emotional, verbal. It could have several forms. But if there is a cycle of abuse, if this man puts his hands on you or this woman puts her hands on you, because, you know, there's this idea that women can't be abusers in relationships, but we all know that they exist. There are women out there who will hit you. There are women out there who will purposefully get in your face, trap you in a corner, and refuse to let you move because she wants you to hit her, or she wants you to put your hands on her, or even if it's just to shove her away so you could get away, so that then she could say, oh my gosh, he hit me. So then she could use that as a way to get you in trouble. There are women out there who do that. If you find yourself dealing with somebody who is constantly forcing you into a cycle of abuse and you just can't escape, this person is verbally abusive or emotionally abusive. Let's say you wash this man's clothes. Every day you're washing his clothes. At the end of the week, you wash all his white shirts from work. And he says, you never get these shirts white. You're always leaving a little stain. Or go on, carry them by your mother now. Let she wash them now. You ain't good for nothing. That's emotional abuse, because you are putting in your time and your work and your energy into making sure that, you know, he has a level of comfort. You're washing his shirts, yet he's turning it around on you and abusing you with that. He's using that to put you down. That's abuse. However, there are cases in which you might be in a toxic relationship and you are the abuser. You might be the one who's not showing gratitude. You might be the one who's hitting someone. You might be the one who's verbally abusive, always putting someone down. You might be the one who's snapping at your partner. You might say vicious, nasty things to someone. And sometimes you don't even know that you're hurting them, but you are just talking to them the way that you're accustomed to being spoken to in your previous relationships, in your family life, and you are putting someone down. You are the abuser. And that's a toxic relationship, because you are breaking someone down, but you won't let them go because maybe it makes you feel good to put someone down. Especially, you know, with guys, you know, this masculine ego, this fragile ego that we have. We go off into the world of work. We have a boss who constantly puts us down, makes us feel small. But then when we come home, if we could exert some control on our household and we could keep somebody in their place and exert our masculinity within that sphere, it makes us feel stronger. It makes us feel more like men. Not all men. There are some men who do not subscribe to this. I am one of them. But there are many men who feel stronger when they act out in this way. But in doing so, they are hurting their partners. Number four, you are in a toxic relationship if you are ignored by your partner. If you are telling your partner a story and they're just not responding to you. Let's say you come home and you're telling your boyfriend about what happened at work, or you're telling your boyfriend about somebody who said something awful to you, or even if you're confessing a deep, dark secret and they're just like, yeah, serious? What's for dinner? Hey, I'm going to play some football day later. And you're not even finished with the story. That's a sign that your relationship is not healthy, because this person is not showing emotional investment in you. This person is not really there to listen to you or hear you out. And sometimes you might be the person who's doing the ignoring. You might be ignoring your partner. After a while, sometimes in long relationships where you've been with somebody for a long period of time, it's like you go through the motions. You're just there. Your mind is on autopilot. So they come home and they start complaining about something and you're not paying attention. You're focusing on the football game. And then as soon as they get quiet, you realize, okay, now it's your time to speak. What's for dinner? Where are we going to eat? You bring home any roti? What are we doing tonight? Your mind is completely shutting them out. And that's not healthy. Number five, you are in a toxic relationship if there's cheating involved. If there is emotional cheating, even if it is this person is constantly checking someone else out and they know it bothers you, let's say you have a problem with this and you tell them this, but they keep doing it. Every time you go to the gym with this man, he breaking his neck to look at every fat bam see that pass him, every fat backside. He's constantly turning his head, turning his head, turning his head. He have to look at every single waistline that passes him, and you are so embarrassed and it hurts you. And you say, hey, this is not right. I don't feel comfortable with this. Why do you constantly do that? Other people are looking. It embarrasses me. But he keeps doing it. That's unhealthy. If he's cheating on you, if he's going out there and every other week you constantly finding out that he's having sex with somebody else, that's not healthy. If he has an affair, which is the extreme, where he actually has a romantic relationship with somebody on the side. Sometimes he might even have children with this person. He may have a complete second family. How could that possibly be healthy? Because he's taking the energy that he should be giving to you and to himself and giving it to a third party. And now part of the time that he could be investing in your relationship and building something stronger with you, he's building it with someone else. And in some cases, you might be the one cheating. I know some of you listening right now may not be ready to be held accountable for it, but some of you are cheaters. And I know there are folks who are probably listening to the show right now, and this is the moment where they're turning down the volume real low because they're feeling very guilty. I ain't judging, I'm just saying. But if you know you are cheating on a partner, and you know that they are not fulfilling a need, and you are looking towards someone else to fulfill that need, and you're going out there and having sex with someone else, you are possibly putting yourself and your partner at risk, especially if you're having unprotected sex. And also, you're opening the door for drama and violence. Suppose your side piece decides to show up to your partner's office and break her windscreen or scratch up his car or fight them in public. You don't know what could happen. You're playing with fire. And you're actually showing that your relationship is not healthy, because in a healthy, committed relationship, now we have all kind of people out here. We have swingers. We have people who have open relationships. They have their own rules. But if you are in a committed relationship with someone and you are going out and cheating behind your partner's back, you are opening the door for problems. But why do people stay in toxic relationships? Why do people stay in situations that they know aren't healthy for them? Why do people keep on hanging on? I think one of the biggest reasons is that we've been taught this idea of the soulmate through our socialization, through the media, through our families, society, friends. We have been taught romantic comedies. We have been taught that we have one soulmate. So often when somebody's in a relationship, they don't want to let go, because in their mind, they think that this person is their one and only, and they're supposed to tough it out. Ogum, every man does cheat. That's what men do. You just have to learn how to roll with the punches and deal with the side piece. They actually telling young girls, and in some cases they're young boys, that being cheated on is just part of life. So you are in a relationship that is unhealthy, and you are being taught through the media and through your family that it is okay, that you're supposed to hang on, and that if this person is your true soulmate, you have to fight for love. Now, I don't believe that there's something called fighting for love. I believe that love is natural, love is true, and love is pure. You're not supposed to fight for love. Love is something that stems from within you and expands to include someone else. If you have to fight for it, that's not love that you're fighting for. You're fighting for a flawed ideal. Another reason people stay is because they're just afraid to be alone. That's building on that soulmate idea. But then also, some people just do not want to be alone. And this really targets gay men and women. So many gay men have to deal with rejection throughout their life. And because many gay men have not been taught how to date by society, they have not been taught how to build a relationship. And often if they've gone through, now the younger generation coming up now, the teens, Generation Z, they have a different world that they're emerging into. A world in which they can basically discover love almost openly in many cases, especially if they live in developed countries like America, the UK. There's less constriction in their sexuality. They could discover their love life openly and have a level of acceptance from society, if not from their families. But in the elder generation, even the millennials, there is this idea of finding gay love was done behind closed doors. Finding gay relationships or hookups was done behind closed doors. Now you have apps that help, but there are many headless people on these apps. People who don't even show their faces. So what happens is many people either stumble across love accidentally after a hookup or just going to a party and you meet somebody and you realize you like this person and they don't want to let it go. Because the idea of actually finding love, like somebody actually falls in love after a jacked hookup, is considered almost an anomaly. It's something that does not happen. At least many people think it does not happen. So when they get it, they don't want to let it go. And because of the rejection that many gay men face throughout their lives, from their families, from society, from friends, from people who just cast them aside, when they finally find a level of acceptance, however weak it may be, they don't want to let it go. Now that's a generalization. Not everybody falls in that box. But I know many gay men who fall into that category. Another reason is because many people are insecure. They think that they will never find another love like this. I will never find another man to love me as much as Ken. I will never find another girl to love me as much as Sally. Everybody holding on because they think that this person is completing them somehow. And it's also especially because moving beyond the soulmates idea, they're focusing on what was, you know, the early era of the relationship, the honeymoon era. Many people, after the honeymoon phase is over and they start facing the reality of a relationship, some of them hold on to the idea that someday they'll be able to return to that time when they were all in love and everything was perfect and sunny and they spent so much time together and the sex was great and they would have fun and smiles and care for one another and everything would be milk and honey and rainbows and honeydew and gumdrops. That's what they think is going to happen. So they don't want to let go because they're hoping that, you know, one day the wagon will make its way right back to the station. And then also some people are focusing on what could be. They're focusing on the potential. They're focusing on what this man could become in a few years. You know, right now, he have a bad attitude, but he's studying so hard at law school. So in about 5 years, when he get a job, when he finish law school and he get a job, I know he's going to develop and become a successful lawyer, and then he will have the time to really focus on us. So I'm going to hang in there for that. 5 years later, he don't leave you and go on with some next person. And you sitting outside your house grunting while he rolling past your house in the Audi with the next person and you looking like a clown. Heartbroken because you just waste 5 years on this man who didn't really love you. You feeling nice now? Another reason people stay is because they're driven by pride. So many people stay in these relationships because they look good. They look good together. They know that everybody looks to them as relationship goals. Everybody puts up their pictures on Tumblr and Instagram as big goals and relationship goals. So they don't want to break up because they've been put on a pedestal. Also, there are many people who just don't want to fail. They don't want to break up because they don't want people to talk about how they broke up. They don't want to seem like a failure. So they hold on to this relationship and they keep going around and around in circles. They keep dealing with the heartbreak behind closed doors. And then when they step out into public, everything seems so wonderful. But behind the shroud, there is pain, there is anguish, there is regret, and there's heartbreak, but they keep on hanging on because they just don't want to fail in the eyes of the world. They are consumed by their pride. Some people also stay because they are driven by lust. You see the seven deadly sins earlier? They're driven by lust. The sex is so good. Ricky just come over, pin you down to the bed, fold you up like a pretzel and fling you around the bedroom. The sex is amazing. You can't get enough of the sex and you're going and you're taking it every chance you get and you're holding on to the relationship because you're telling yourself, I might not get another penis like this. This is porn star penis. I can't let this one go. Or she have the 10 pound pum pum. You can't let this 10 pound pum pum go away. She have the Everbless. You find the Everbless and you say, I'm not letting this one go. But you can't stand the person, but you love what between the legs. Or you love what they can do to you. So you're just holding on, even though you know you don't like this individual. And even though you know that the sex leaves you feeling empty afterward. You see, what happens is the sex becomes a distraction. The sex becomes something that you can enjoy in the moment. It distracts you from how much pain that you feel in this relationship. And you get this temporary high from the interaction. You get this rush of endorphins. And as soon as it settles, you feel empty, you feel hollow. And then sometimes you regret it. Why did I just do that with this guy? I can't even stand him. I don't even like him. You're looking at him in the bed and he just making you annoyed. You're looking at his bed. You're looking at his body. You could smell him. You just want to get out of the bed. You go and sleep on the couch. You don't want to be anywhere near him after the sex. But you did it because it felt good. And another reason people stay, and I've combined these two, is because of greed and jealousy. You see, some people, what they do is that they build up someone. They invest a lot of time and effort into a partner. Let's say you have a boyfriend. You with this man, when you met him, he was a slob. He didn't know how to dress himself. He was chronically late all the time. He had hygiene issues. He used to smell funny. He used to have this body hair that was out of control. He didn't have a good job. He wasn't the most mannerly individual. And after about 3 years, are you really grinding and working and making this man into something? He's now employed. He's hygienic. He looks good. He's been to the gym. You know, his body looks good. He's healthy. He's smiling. He's mannerly. He's charming. You really put a lot of time into really improving and elevating this man's life. You've introduced him to all these amazing things. And now you don't want to let him go. Even though you are no longer attracted to this man, or there's no real love in the relationship anymore. Because now that he has reached a certain status that you've helped him, you've boosted him up to, you've upgraded him in many ways, you see a different side of him, a side of him that you don't really like. And you realize that now other people are interested in him and he's showing them interest. And you just don't want to let him go. Because in your mind, after you invest all this time, money and effort into this man, you will be damned if you let somebody else have him. If I can't have him, nobody else can. You don't want to let him go. You put in the time and the effort. He is your Prince Charming. And the worst thing is the mind games that you play with yourself. You sit back and you're just thinking, I can't stand him, but I know if I break up with him, he will go and find a next woman or a next man, and they will end up happily ever after, and they will have the children that should have been my children. They will live in the house that should have been mine. They will have the car that should have been mine. They will have the dogs that should have been mine. You start telling yourself that he owes you something. That's your ego, you know. You're telling yourself on a subconscious level that this man owes you something, and that's why you just refuse to just give him a clean break. So let's say you sit back now, you internalize all this information, and you decide, you know what? My relationship really is unhealthy, and I have been hanging on for all the wrong reasons. How, Trent, do I now let go? Tell me now. How do I get my freedom? You talk all this talk, but how do I actually get out the door? Number one, you need to admit that your relationship is unhealthy. All the things that I just highlighted, I need you to sit down and write. I want you to sit down and answer all the questions, go through all the points I just raised, and then also write down on a piece of paper all the things that you like about your partner and all the things you do not like about your partner. And see if anything that you don't like ranks within the issues that I raised earlier. Now, if you realize that your partner cheats on you, you can't trust him, there's a lack of communication, he's abusive, those are red flags. You have to categorize them, you know. Categorize them into minor issues and major issues. All the negatives. Minor, major. So a minor for you might be that he's untidy. But a major issue for you might be that he's physically abusive. A minor issue could be that he does not floss. A major issue for you could be that he flirts with your friends. You need to start writing down all of the points. And that's when it will start to dawn on you. When you actually see it on paper, it will start dawning on you. Wait, I am really in an unhealthy relationship. Or I'm in a relationship that does not work for me at this stage in my life. And after you do this work, you then need to communicate with your partner. Before you do anything drastic, communicate with your partner. Say, listen, I was sitting down thinking about us and I was just going over the relationship in my head and where we are right now and how far we've come and where I would like to see us go. And I think we have some problems that we need to address. I think there's something that's not connecting. So let's say his issue is communication, ironically. So you're sitting down now and you're saying, listen, I'm trying to talk to you. I'm trying to really share my views and get to know you on a deeper level and let you into my world so you can know me on a deeper level. But I feel sometimes it's like getting water from stone. I feel like I pour my heart out to you and I don't get anything in return. I feel like you sometimes ignore me. You turn up the TV when I'm speaking. You walk off. You hang up the phone on me sometimes when I'm in the middle of a sentence. Is it something that you're willing to change? Is it something that we can talk about and address? And if he, after all of this communication, everything you just put on the table for him, if he still does not acknowledge you, if he shuts you out, then you know, wait, I have a serious problem. Now you have to realize this man is not for you. This man is not willing to meet you halfway. And you need to now consider the next step. And the next step may be a breakup. The next step may mean that you need to leave this man because you've written down all your problems. You've communicated them to yourself, then you've communicated them to him. And he still does not want to meet you in the middle ground. So now you need to probably end the relationship or seek a third party's help. And if after you get a third party's help, let's say you go to a therapist, you go to a priest, you go to a family member, you go to an elder in your family, or somebody who's close enough to both of you all to help you really sort the issue out, and you just can't get to the root of it. And it seems as though he does not show any interest in fixing the problem, or she does not show any interest in fixing the problem. Now it's time for you to leave. Now you have to really break up or establish a healthy distance. Sometimes going to the extreme of a breakup might be too much. Let's say you have children together. Let's say you've been together for so long that you have certain financial investments together, you own property together. Let's say breaking up may honestly be too impractical. It just might be too difficult at this stage. Or breaking up might be too much emotionally for you right now. So what you need to do is establish a healthy distance. And this is really useful with friends. Let's say you're trying to end a friendship. This is actually very useful because it's easier to establish distance with friends. Or let's say you're in a relationship with somebody and you're in the earlier stages. You're not very, very deep. Now it's a time where, okay, you're not living together. You don't have children together. You don't have any dogs together, no pets, no property. Now you can really establish a distance and sort things out on your own time and in your own space. And to do this, you need to communicate that you're establishing distance. So you need to tell this person, listen, let's say it's a friend. And let's say you and this friend, you've been friends for a while, but then you feel like this person is always bringing you their emotional baggage and they always want a favor and they're leaving you exhausted. You need to tell them, listen, I need to do some work on my life right now. I need to work on myself. And I feel that we don't really have the best dynamic. It could be scarier because you don't know how your friend might react. But you have to do the work. So you turn to your friend and say, I don't think we have the healthiest dynamic. Sometimes you call me at 1 o'clock in the morning to cry about your man. And you tell me all about your man's problems. And then you hang up the phone and I go to sleep now with your baggage on my mind. And when I wake up the next day, I have this on my mind. And if I have a problem, you don't hear me out. So I think from now on, it might be best that we don't really have those conversations late at night. Or maybe we shouldn't have those conversations. Now you have to start putting up the boundaries. So now you may have to eliminate the late night phone calls. Don't text me every single problem. Don't text me 5 times a day to tell me how Johnny creeping with Becky from across the street. And you have proof and you have pictures. And look where I find Johnny. And Johnny and Johnny and Johnny. I don't need to know what Johnny doing. Johnny's not my man. Johnny's your man. That's your problem. You need to establish a distance. And if you're establishing a healthy distance with a partner in a relationship, sometimes it means no sex. So let's say you don't want to break up, but at the same time, you're trying to work on yourself and you're trying to build a better connection with this person. What you need to do is establish no sex. And that's really if you realize that sex is being used constantly as a distraction, as we spoke about earlier. So here now you see, instead of us staying home tonight to have sex, why don't we go on a date? Sometimes dating in a relationship is the healthiest thing. You've been with somebody for 3 years, now you're just going through the motions. There's no more excitement, there's no more novelty to the relationship. So what you need to do is start building some new experiences and having fun with this person without relying on your go-to mechanisms, without just turning to sex as your only way to get through a night with this person or to help you pass the time or distract you from the fact that you don't like this person. So now you need to go back into dating. And by dating and getting to know this person on a deeper level, it will help you decide whether or not you want to stay or whether or not you think it's time to go. Because let's say you have not been ready meeting this person on an emotional level. So let's say every day, so 6 days a week, you go to work, you come home, you have sex, you fall asleep. Well, you might not be having sex every single one of them days, unless it's a real bad girl, dancehall queen for life. But if you're not a dancehall queen for life, exploding like dynamite, you may not be having sex every night. So let's say you go to work, you come home, you bathe, you eat, you fall asleep. Every other day or twice a week or 3 times a week, you have sex, that's it. Sunday come, you don't really have anything to talk about because you really haven't spent a lot of time together. You've forgotten how to communicate with each other. You just grunt. You sleep. Who go on to the beach with your partners? You go on by your friend to do your hair. That's it. There's no real communication. So now you need to set up 1 day of the week where you are going on a date. You're going to do something fun. You're going bike riding together. You're going to discover a new beach together. You're going on a road trip. You're going bowling. You're going hiking. You're going rock climbing. You're going swimming together. You know, you might join a class together. You get a hobby together. Something that will allow you to get to know this person. And then let's say after all of this now, you're getting to know him. Or you're getting to know her and you're realizing you don't really like the person that you've been with for so long. You're seeing sides of them that you don't really like. You realize that they might be a gossip because now that you're spending more time, actual time together, you're realizing that, wait, she's a real gossip boy, or she always complaining, or she don't like people, or a lot of people don't like her, and I could see why. Now you're able to decide, I think it's time that we might need to put a pin in this relationship. We might need to end this. Because now that you're getting to learn this individual, you realize you don't like this individual. And if you break up with the person, or let's say this is a friendship and you're no longer as close, you've established that you no longer want to be riding with the person as tough, you need to stop checking their social media. Stop monitoring every single thing. This is very important. And I learned this. If you break up with someone or you build a Chinese wall, I stole that from The Good Wife. Oh, God, I love that show. But if you build a Chinese wall between you and this other individual so that you could work on yourself and they could work on themselves, you need to stop checking their social media. Don't monitor their Instagram to see if they get a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend or who they're hanging out with or what party they're going to. Don't check and see every single tweet because they might be subtweeting you and seeing negative things and now you're getting sucked into the same cycle of negativity all over again. Let them go. Let go. Close your eyes. And this is going back to the episode of Trinity Trent Radio that I spoke about earlier, a couple weeks ago, social media, faffing, and you. You need to unplug. Because by unplugging, you're no longer going to be mentally in the same cycle that you were in. Because what happens is you may physically remove yourself from the cycle, but mentally and spiritually, you're still connected. So you need to let go. And by stop checking their social media, you're freeing yourself from that baggage. Another tip for letting go and to get out of a relationship with somebody is to change your cycle. And this is the internal flow. This is the internal cycle. I learned this in meditation. We learn that your thoughts become words. Your words become actions. Your actions become habits. Your habits become character. And your character becomes your destiny. Each stage influences the next. It's a domino effect. So now let's focus on the first four. How your thoughts become words, which become actions, which become habits. If you change the way you think about your relationship, you change the way that you talk about your relationship, you change your actions, and then you change your habits, you can actually affect your relationship. So let's say you're in a relationship with someone who likes to post pictures of himself online in his underwear and everybody's liking it, and you feel uncomfortable because everybody's throwing themselves at him. He's enjoying the attention and it makes you feel embarrassed and it makes you feel insecure about yourself. Sit and think about it. If your usual reaction to this is to lash out and curse and slam the door and storm out and go your way, that's not actually helping the situation. What you need to do here, check your thoughts. How does it make you feel? I feel upset when he posts these pictures online. Communicate that to him. Listen, when you post these pictures online, I feel sad. It makes me feel insecure. I feel that you're looking outside of our relationship for attention and validation. I feel that you're ignoring me in the process and making me feel less than, as if I am not enough. That's your words. And then by doing that, your actions are changing. You're not storming out the house. You're actually sitting down and communicating with him. And that's going to start changing the dynamic of the relationship. Every step of the way, now you're changing your habit. Because your action is becoming your habit. So instead of storming out, you sit and you chat. Now, if after that, he still continues to do what he's doing, that's showing that he does not regard you. And that disregard is your point now for you to say, okay, I've expressed this to you and you keep doing it. It shows that you don't value me. Or at least own the feeling, eh? So don't say it shows that you don't value me. Say, I feel that you don't value me. I feel that that is a reflection that you do not care about me. And now you can take a step back and decide whether or not you want to stay in the relationship. And from that reflection and looking at your thoughts, your habits, because now you're listening to the internal conversation and seeing how you could transfer that into the real world, you're going to start thinking about yourself even more deeply. You have to start establishing a relationship with yourself. And to do that, you need to find a passion, find a hobby, find something that energizes you, something that feeds you, find your purpose. Find a purpose, because I believe we have multiple purposes in life. There's a supreme calling and destiny, but to lead toward that destiny, we are drawn by several different purposes, several different cues from the universe to tell us what we have to do next. What is the next step in our life? Find a hobby, find a passion, find a purpose, find something that you can do that energizes you. Because by doing that, you're going to find out what you love. And love is in many different forms, but at its true form, at its deepest form, at the deepest level of love, love is something that builds you up and makes you feel fulfilled. Love energizes you. So when you start finding that passion, that love, you're going to start feeling that love of self. It's going to start welling up in you. And when it wells up and you start finding something that really gets you going, you're going to start replacing the idea of him, the idea of your partner, the idea of her, the idea of the other as your source of love and energy. And you're going to start replacing that person with you. You're going to start looking towards you. That insecurity and that idea that this person completes me and I need them to help me feel alive and I need them to help me feel complete. By you starting to do things to make you happy, you are going to build a deeper relationship and connection with yourself. Therefore, you start to love yourself and you realize that the person that you need is you. And therefore, it will help you to let go. It will help you to let go of that relationship that has you feeling tied in because you realize you no longer need this person because the person that you need is you. And it goes back to what I have been saying over the last few podcasts. We are not incomplete. We are not walking around with a missing piece in our heart for another person to fill. We are not walking black holes. We are complete. We are whole. We are perfect. And often what we seek in others is what we think we lack. You think you lack this, so you seek it in someone else, but it's actually within you all along. You think you lack strength, so you look for a big, strong, strapping man to protect you, but you could build yourself up to be strong for yourself. You are actually already strong, you know. You are already strong. You just don't know the strength that lies within you. You look for financial security, so you look for a man to pay your bills. You don't need a man to pay your bills. Pay your own damn bills. Look at yourself. And when you start feeding yourself and you start looking at yourself as whole and you start focusing as a relationship is about you loving yourself and sharing that love with someone else as opposed to you looking for love in another person, you're going to start seeing your relationship as something completely different. You're no longer going to be dependent on another person. You're going to learn to love and depend on yourself and want to share that with another human being who is deserving of that love. And this is where I bring in today's quote. You know, I told you at the end of every podcast, I'm going to have a quote, something that is going to, for you to really think about and reflect on for the rest of the week. It's something that I got from Iyanla Van Zandt. I watched one of her Facebook shorts. You know, she has these Facebook short videos. And I watched one of them and it really stuck with me. I saw this like about almost a year ago. Somebody wrote into her and asked her, you know, I'm with a man and he just doesn't love me the way that I want. How do I get him to love me right? And she laughed. And she said, and I thought this was so important. She said, you do not get to tell someone how to love you. You only get to choose whether you want to participate in their love. You do not get to tell someone how to love you. You only get to choose whether to participate in their love. So if you think that somebody in your life is not feeding you, you don't feel energized and inspired by this person, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, whether it's a lover or a partner, you feel that you don't walk away at the end of every interaction feeling more alive and inspired than you ever were before. If you feel drained and tired, you have the power to step away. You have the power to let go. It's in you. And you can't demand that somebody has to shape up and love you right. And all of these songs that are out there telling people, you know, you have to step up to the plate and learn how to love me. And we're going to be in this relationship and stick it out together until you learn how to love me. No. That's a cycle. Break the cycle. You choose whether or not you want to participate in their love. If that man abuses you, if that man cheats on you, if that man does not treat you right and you stay, that is your choice to stay. Nobody's forcing you to stay. You have the right to step away. Now, I know physical abuse is something different. You may need help because there's some guys out there who are physically violent and crazy and will kill you. Not just guys, women who will literally take it to the extreme. And that's a special case. But if you're in a relationship with someone and they leave you exhausted, you have the power to say, I do not want to be a part of this cycle, and exit. Talking about exit, that's the end of today's show. Oh, God. Trinitron Radio, still nice. I'm baking in my little bedroom here, but it's all right. I'm so glad that you tuned in. Of course, you know where you could find all the rest of the episodes on trinitrent.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, and all across the web. You can also find me on social media. That's Trinitrent on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, my personal page, my fan page. You could find me on Tumblr. You could find me on Periscope. You can also find me on YouTube for the Trinitrent TV YouTube show. Yes, this was very, very nice. I'm so thankful for all of your support. Writing those questions. Let me know what you think of the show. Rate the show on iTunes. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, also on SoundCloud. Share your views and let me know. I love to see your comments and your feedback. That's what inspired this show. Let's see what else will come from it. And make sure you join me next time here on Trinitrent Radio.